Bill Heidreder's life is in the movies, not making them, writing about them, or teaching them, going to them, just going to them. He has a strong academic background from his days at Berkeley, is well-read, reflective, and thoughtful, traits he sometimes seems to apply most successfully in figuring out what to pack into the tote bag he brings to 3 and 4 movies a day.
I have pills for the sniffles in case it gets cold, I get the sniffles. I have pills for back pain. But sometimes you don't get very good backrests at the theater. When I go into the theater, if it's cold, which it will be, I'm going to go into the bathroom, and if possible, I'm going to change clothes and put on this thermal undershirt and this sweater. So I don't know. I should live in a tropical climate, but I don't know of any cities in tropical climates that have good film opportunities. I mean, the places for film are New York and Paris.
Bill Heidreder is one of 5 people who've given their lives over to movie watching, who profiled in the new documentary Cinemania, which is moved along by the question, are these devoted filmgoers merely eccentric, innocently dotty, or clearly compulsive? Stephen Kayak is one of the co-directors of Cinemania, along with Angela Christlieb in Berlin. He joined us in our studios in New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
And we're also joined by Jack Angstreich, who is one of the people profiled in Cinemania. Mr. Angstreich, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, sir, how many films a day would you see if for example, we weren't clotting up your time with this interview?
It's not out of the question for me to go to 5 films in a day. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen as often anymore as it used to. But, you know, some days I only see one. You know, it just depends on what's playing.
Mr. Kayak, how do the folks you profiled plot out their days, the films they want to go to and crowd it all in?
Well, I think each one of them has a different system. You know, Jack, it was the first person I met, and I was fascinated by the detail to which you would plot things, first on the computer, listing everything that was playing in New York.
After I've called all the curators and found out about what the prints are like, you know, anything that there's a good print of that I might conceivably want to see, you know, that's going to show at a theater that I consider has adequate projection, I list. And then what I do after I have all this stuff listed is I narrow it down.
And of course, Mr. Kayak, your fascination with getting to know these people and putting them on screen. Where did that begin?
Well, you know, I had just heard about Jack through his roommate. I heard stories about this character who went to 5 movies a day, had been arrested for, I don't know if it's beating up an old man in a movie theater over a conflict with a favorite seat. I mean, things like this. You have to meet a person like this, and you have to start filming them immediately when you meet them, because they pull you into this fascinating subculture that you really didn't know existed.
Mr. Angstreich, I want to give you a chance. Did you beat up an old man for a movie seat?
No, actually, he beat me up. Or what it was, actually, was that he lunged at me and, you know, grabbed me and put me in a bear hug, and then his daughter, she also jumped on me. And then later the police had considered arresting me for attacking an old man, but he ended up alienating the police so much that they dismissed the whole case.
How large a group of people are we talking about here?
I mean, the people who are as hardcore as the people in the film is probably not that many, but there are a lot of, for instance, there are a lot of retirees who go to movies every day. You know, that's what they've decided to do with their retirement. But I'm not sure that they're quite the same. They have quite the same attitude that we have, where we're scrounging all the schedules in the city to find, you know, what the hidden gems are and rushing from one theater to another and so on.
Well, let me ask you both, because the whole film raises this question of the proportionality of your life and in a sense, your life's treasure and intensity, which you devote to film. I mean, I see a difference between a retiree who will go to 3 and 4 movies a day, and someone who is going to 3 or 4 movies a day, or 5 or 6 for a life.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of difference I was trying to draw attention to. I mean, when we go to the Museum of Modern Art, we see the same people there, and we'll talk to them, but they may just be the people who are there because that's how they pass their time. It might not actually be an obsession for them.
But I mean, and it's that word obsession that I think that drew me and Angela in. I mean, that's really, I mean, the film isn't so much about film buffs because, you know, that covers such a huge range of people, including the retirees at the Museum of Modern Art. I mean, you know, the degree to which our five subjects approach cinema, it's obsessional.
Mr. Angstreich, how do you feel about those terms, obsessional?
Well, obsession I don't have a problem with because it has a meaning independent of purely pathological considerations. One wouldn't be so quick to describe an artist's obsession as a pathology. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I think you can see that there's a counterpart in that of the consumer who's obsessed with the artistic product. But yes, compulsion, you know, obviously is something that's more clinical in its connotation. And that's not something that I would deny is something that I perceive either in myself or in the other people in the film. Mm-hmm. Where it gets tricky is when mainstream norms get applied to form an evaluation of that kind of behavior. Normalcy is not necessarily something that should have any evaluative significance in itself. That it's merely a term to describe what most people do. But most people might be doing things that are pretty bad, judged by any set of standards that one chooses to adopt, you know.
I'm wondering, Mr. Kayak, if we can get you to talk us into a clip we want to play now from the film of a couple of guys sitting around talking about 60s films. Could you set that up for us?
Well, yeah, I set it up. Well, basically, that's Jack's apartment. The apartment, as one critic said, looks like it's actually built out of books.
Right.
From floor to ceiling. You are just meeting up with Eric Chadbourne again, if you haven't seen him after a number of months. Eric is an older film buff in his mid-50s. And we find every time we get him and Jack together, Jack just can't stop just quizzing him endlessly about actresses, obscure and otherwise.
Well, let's listen.
You're a big Betty Hutton fan, though.
Most of the time. Once in a while, she goes over the edge. But I like Betty Hutton a lot. She was a really good entertainer.
What did you think of Stella Stevens?
I liked her. She was one of the better of those 60s people that didn't really make it big. Stella Stevens, Suzanne Plachette, they were a few people.
What about Paul Prentice?
A little mannered.
So, Mr. Kayak, why are Ebert and Roper paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to talk this way, and these two guys are sitting in an overstuffed Queens apartment?
I have no idea. I hope this film helps right that wrong very soon.
I have to tell you, Mr. Angstreich, the one line that stays with me from the film is, I think, one of the most perceptive comments I've ever heard about art. Could I get you to repeat that?
When you put a frame around things, you intensify them, and experience without that frame is banal?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it made me think of that. It's the same effect in literature, where the frame, of course, is the printed page. It's the same effect in the theater, where, of course, it's the stage. For that matter, it's the same if you tell a simple three setup and then the punchline joke, isn't it? You're, in a sense, framing experience and intensifying it.
Yeah, although I have to say it's kind of mysterious to me why it works that way. I've never been able to grasp it. But I have perceived the effect of taking the frame away and seeing things be so much less interesting.
And, Mr. Angstreich, recognizing that all artists are lonely in their souls, are you lonely or are you happy?
Well, I vacillate trying to answer that question. Sometimes I often feel like I'm the happiest person that I know because I wake up pretty much excited almost every day about things. You know, I live in a world of film and books and music and so on, and I'm very excited about those things. But I guess at other times, I guess I must recognize that I'm, you know, really a very alienated person. And, you know, maybe I'm, you know, actually a lot less happy. I guess it may just be a question of mood, you know.
Gentlemen, nice talking to both of you. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen Kayak, one of the co-directors of Cinemania, joined by Jack Angstreich, who's one of the stars.
Cinemania, Isabella Gianni, Anna Magnani, Roman Polanski, Klaus Kinski, Alain Delon, Michel Simon, Jack Lemmon, Jack Nicholson, Julie Christie, Jacques Tati, Warren Beatty, Visconti, Jean-Luc Godard, Jean Renoir, Stéphane Audran, Trintignant, Alfred Hitchcock.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.